And today we are here to present the Premier of North West to you so that he can tell you about the developments. Okay.
Okay. You are so quiet.
Why are you quiet?
I don't know, because they've been having a conversation among themselves.
Press conference is done.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Secretary General Ntate Ace Magashule. Let me also take this opportunity to recognize the presence of our Deputy Secretary General here, Comrade Jesse Duarte. Kilabogelo ena Comrade Pulemabi, the spokesperson of the African National Congress. I never thought that one day I'll be sitting between the SG and the DSG at Luthulwa House, in a press conference. So one is very much honored for this particular day. Ladies and gentlemen, following the victory of the African National Congress in the elections of 2014, the African National Congress Collective, led by the National Executive Committee, in compliance with the resolutions of the ANC, a decision was taken to deploy as Premier of the People's Province of Bokone Bophirima Northwest, SOR Mahumapelo, who is speaking here today. Now, immediately after that deployment was done by the National Executive Committee, the immediate task was to make sure that we implement the program of the ANC. And this program of the ANC to better the lives of the people was implemented in the context of the National Development Plan. So as a province, we took a decision that the implementation of the National Development Plan will be done in the context of the rebranding, repositioning, and renewal of the People's Province of Bokone Bophirima. We were doing this mindful of the accumulated challenges from pre-1994 period and post-1994, in which the ANC in the province had been in government for 22 years. We also took a decision to premise the implementation of this rebranding, repositioning, and renewal of the province on five concretes. The five concretes, we adopted them after carefully studying how countries in the east of the world had approached issues of development, particularly China under Xi Jinping. And these five concretes are as follows. It is the ACT, which is agriculture, culture, and tourism. And the decision we took was that mining will become a strategic economic tributary to use in order to build the necessary capital to strengthen our pillar or our concrete of agriculture, culture, and tourism. We also took a decision that the rest of the variables in implementing the first concrete, which is ACT, we will also take them into account. It can be infrastructure, ICT, and many other related variables. So that's the first concrete. The second concrete is VTSD, which is villages, townships, and small dorpies. We simply chose that concrete because when you look at research, it will tell you that there is over-embeddedness of poverty, inequality, and unemployment in the villages, the townships, and the small dorpies. So the logical response must be that whatever program you develop has to respond to this embeddedness of poverty, inequality, and unemployment in the villages, the townships, and the small Dorpies. As I have said, we were quite conscious of the enormity of the task, because one of the things we had to do was to reconfigure all the departments in the province, in exception of the Department of Health. We were reconfiguring these departments based on the concrete analysis of the situation that we had looked at and had arrived at as a province. Now, notwithstanding the challenges that we are facing as a province, the challenges over accumulation of underdevelopment and so on, we can indicate today here that as a province, we are now at 89% in as far as the provision of clean drinking water is concerned. And we hope that going forward, all of us in the province will work together to complete the remaining percentage, because our people are entitled to the right of accessing and enjoying clean drinking water. In as far as the provision of electricity is concerned, universally, we are now standing at 92%. As a province, you can go and look at Eskom, they will give you those particular figures. Now, I'm saying this because in most cases, you ladies and gentlemen, you don't look at the glass being half full. When you look at the glass, you look at the glass being half empty. Now, this is the work that the African National Congress government has done in the province. We also embarked on a program to make sure that we eradicate the bucket system. And we are happy to indicate that we have fully 100% eradicated the bucket system in the province, in line with the resolution of the African National Congress, which says where there is formal settlements, we should have eradicated the bucket system. Of course, going forward, we are still facing the challenge of informal settlements, where we must make sure that we cover the issues of sanitation. Our economy currently in the province is growing just above 2.3%. It was our objective that we must grow the economy at least 5% by 2019, so that we can adequately respond to the challenges of poverty, inequality, and unemployment. So that becomes a work in progress. One of the decisions we took in 2014 was to establish youth entrepreneurship services as a response to the challenges of unemployment as far as young people are concerned. And I'm happy to announce that YES is now scheduled in terms of the requirements of the PFMA. We got that confirmation from National Treasury in January 2018. And I'm saying these things notwithstanding the challenges that we face. We still face problems of infrastructure, of roads. We still face problems of bad audit outcomes in some of the departments and the municipalities. We still face challenges of the low skills base in the province. We also have challenges of a disjuncture between what the economy requires in the province in as far as the provision of the necessary relevant skills are concerned. We also want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that one of the most important resolutions NASRAC took was that the African National Congress must lead society in making sure that at all fronts we intensify the struggle against greed, crime, and corruption. So that's a resolution of conference. When you look at all the state of the province's addresses that the Premier has made since 2014, we have always emphasized this particular matter. And that ourselves, working with society, led by the African National Congress, working with the private sector, working with all the law enforcement agencies, we must pay attention to this matter of greed, crime, and corruption. You'll also remember that in 2018, in the State of the Province address, The Premier did make an announcement to the effect that taking this matter forward, we are going to be intensifying our relationships with former administrators in government, former politicians in government, and all of us who are currently in the FIFA administration to make sure that we deal with this particular matter so that we are not seen to be paying lip service to it. Now, I have had a discussion with the national leadership, and I've indicated to the national leadership that one of the challenges that arose in the province was around this particular matter. And that as one embarks on early retirement from the position of premier in the province, it is my hope, and I know that our leadership is going to do that, that all those issues that were raised in the State of the Province address, which center around matters of greed, crime, and corruption as part of intensifying at all fronts the struggle against greed, crime, and corruption will be attended to. I'll just give a few examples. One is that in the province there are over 5,000 foundations where contractors have been paid over the last 22 years or so, and those houses are not there. So one of the things we're going to do is to make sure that we look for the culprits, and we attend to the culprits, because more often than not, it will be said that the African National Congress is the one that misleads people, it is the one that is corrupt, when actually the organization called African National Congress is not a corrupt organization. What we need to do is that those of us who are deployed within the state, we must attend to this particular matter. So people must be getting their houses. As I say, it's over 5,000 foundations that are there. The second thing will be the incomplete roads projects, which are there. An extremely shocking, shoddy work that has been done around some of the roads in the province. The third thing will be, where are the shares of the government in as far as the ownership of Sun City is concerned? Because we had received numerous inquiries to say, we had inherited from the apartheid government through the manifestation of the Bob government that particular infrastructure and that ownership of shares. So the question was, where are those shares? Where is the transaction? So we tried to look for the deposits, you know, into the exchequer account of government, and we didn't find any cent coming in there. So we hope that these matters will continue to be attended to. We also hope, and I've raised this matter with the leadership, that there is a phenomenon of an account in the province called D account. It's an account that has got the relationship with traditional leaders, and what accrued to them used to be deposited into that particular account. It was established by the Bophuthatswana government then. There's been a ravaging and an abuse of this particular account. What we did as the FIFA administration was to engage the former public protector. The report was completed, and I've asked the leadership to make sure that they follow up on this particular matter of the D account, because it's one of the issues that is very thorny in the province. The additional matter also is the continuous appointment of administrators to manage the financial and administrative affairs of traditional leadership in the province. Many of them did not manage those affairs properly, and most of the monies disappeared under the management of those administrators, which were appointed by the provincial government. So it's one of the things that we're going to deal with in implementing the resolution of the ANC of intensifying the struggle at all fronts to deal with matters of greed, crime, and corruption. Irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, which has accrued over the years and also under the current administration, we have asked the leadership to make sure that those issues are not swept under the carpet. Linked to this particular matter, is the abuse of immovable state asset by former administrators in government. Some of them are former HODs, and one of them, SG and DSG, is now in the Veterans League. This former HOD stay for free in government houses. It's now over 12 years. They don't pay money commensurate with what is required in the market, and they are also refusing to leave those particular houses. So this is one of the matters we were going to make sure that we attend to, and the leadership will attend to this particular matter. The disappearance of some of the assets that are owned by the government, it can be the Bob Recording Studio, which is now in private hands. We're investigating that particular matter. We hope it will continue to be investigated. Pieces of lands, farms. There was also a case which was open between the third and the fourth administration regarding the issue of wild animals that are owned by government. Nothing is moving on that case. We are going to address that particular case. The last example I want to give is the 29 forensic investigations, which 22 are already completed. The fifth administration, over and above the 29, had done 5. So I have an assurance from my leadership that this particular matters will be attended to, because partly is one of the reasons why we have a bit of quagmire in the province. The other matter which I've requested the leadership to attend to, as one goes on necessary early political retirement from position of premier, is to investigate this phenomenon which resulted in the looting and the torching of houses, destruction of government property in the following areas: Mafikeng, Taung, Kagisano Molopo, Joburg, and Dela River, this particular 5 areas. And we will at the right time indicate to the leadership our information with regard to the people who were behind this, what is called today the people's demand in the province, because as far as we are concerned, that is nothing else but counter-revolution. And counter-revolution, when it rests its head, revolutionaries must rise to the occasion and attend and thwart the counter-revolution. Now, one of the things that we will have to do going forward is to do sufficient political education of our branches as the first and the last line of defense of the revolution, for them to be empowered with this particular information so that they can defend the revolution. Because as far as we are concerned in the province, this was nothing else but counter-revolution. Now, there are 2 reasons why I'm going on early retirement. The first reason is to say all these investigations that are supposed to take place in the province and are taking place, if they take place in my presence, there will be an accusation that I'm using the office also to protect myself, because those investigations have to continue. And I'm also accused along the process. So if I continue to stay in the office and I'm also accused, and at the same time we are dealing with all these 35 forensic investigations and other additional ones which are going to come, it will be very difficult to avoid the accusation that you are abusing the office in order for you to get at your political opponents or to defend yourself. So I then came to the decision that I think it will be better for one to go on early retirement in as far as this particular matter is concerned. The second reason is that the organization in the province is going to attend to this counter-revolution. And this particular counter-revolution, through the structures of the organization, we will then have to use the might of the organization to attend to this counter-revolution. And if I continue to stay as the premier, when some of the counter-revolutionaries are embedded in a program disguised as a revolutionary council and so on, I will also be accused of using my position in government for self-defense. So one has arrived at a conscious decision, very conscious decision to say we will have to make sure that one is allowed to go on early retirement on this particular matter so that those two processes can go on unhindered and without perceptions of one using the office to either defend himself or get at other people who may be seen to be differing with one politically. Lastly, I just want to indicate that in the province, we are going to be working towards unity. We have already started to unify and stabilize the African National Congress and the alliance partners to make sure that we renew the organization. We already started with a big march of reconciliation, healing, and renewal to ready ourselves for the elections which are coming in 2019. I also want to take this opportunity to thank the African National Congress for the deployment and for the ANC to agree that one must go on early retirement. And I also just want to say that I do not expect from the organization compensation in the form of a new position elsewhere, because the ANC doesn't owe us any positions. When we engage in the revolution, we engage in the revolution as volunteers in the revolution. Lastly, ladies and gentlemen, just know that Supra Obakeng Ramoeletsi Mahumapi is not a political self-preservation activist. It is the revolution that must come first and the people of South Africa. Other than that, Aluta continue, the struggle continues.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the ANC in the province of the Northwest. Before we open up for questions, I will allow both the SG and the DSG to take a bite, after which I will come back and tell you what we're going to do. Okay, SG.
No, I'm sure. Let me just put it in simple terms, no parables. Comrade Supra is today resigning as Premier of Northwest. And I think in that process, he's actually assisting the ANC to deal with all challenges which we are supposed to deal with so that he doesn't become an obstacle towards solving whatever problems. So we are very happy and I think we support his move as the African National Congress. I think it has been a difficult time and period, but the fact that he has offered voluntarily so to come here and say to the ANC, I'm prepared to resign, I think it's a great thing to do as a leader. Thank you very much.
DSG.
Thank you much, very much. Mine is just to express the expectations we now have is that the government will continue with its work in terms of the Section 101B, conclude that work so that we can have a proper reporting structure. Secondly, is to say that we call on all our allies and the ANC to work together to enable us to actually build unity in that province. We don't want to have unity as a slogan. We need to develop real, true unity. We also hope that as Comrade Supra returns to the province as a cadre of our movement, that he will lead in a process that establishes unity as a practice, that there will be no recriminations, no deep developing problems that continue to persist. We are a bit concerned about the new fourth entrant in our politics, which is the social media, which has been extremely undemocratic, extremely vicious, has no respect for anyone or any particular position. And that is something we can't stop. But we're calling on people to be responsible. as they make statements, as they do what they think they're doing as individuals, none of those people represent the voice of the ANC. And this is what I would like to say. Thank you to Comrade Supra for having taken this step. It goes a long way towards resolving what has become almost a daily discussion amongst you as journalists, also feeding off what the social media says. We think this puts an end to a particular set of issues. Let's move forward, and that's really the plea we are making. Thank you very much.